A recent UN report came to a conclusion that Seattle author David George Gordon reached a long time ago. In the future, we're all going to be eating a lot more bugs. Gordon is a science writer and the author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook. He believes insects are an eco-friendly, nutritious, cheap way to feed the world, and he also swears they're delicious. Gordon visited KPLU's studios to chat with Tom Paulson of the global health and development blog Humanosphere. Paulson asked him about that UN report and its warnings about food scarcity.
You know, we're heading towards a world with 9 billion people. Current food production to deal with that is going to have to double by 2050, they say. We're really stressed in terms of food, and a lot of this, of course, goes to the fact that we'd like to eat large animals, whether they're fish or cow. The UN basically are recommending that we really consider insects for food. So why don't you give us your highlights, as you recall from that report?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, I should establish this UN report mentions that 80% of the world's cultures already eat bugs. We're kind of the weirdos because we're in that 20% who doesn't, but we have a very strong opinion about that. And they're way less costly to produce than cattle, for example. The report goes on to talk about how cattle take, I forget the exact number, let's say 2,000 gallons of water equals 1 pound of steak. Mm-hmm. 16 pounds of grain, you get 1 pound in return back in meat. On the other hand, insects require, in some cases, almost no water at all. And they require about a fifth of the amount of food that would go into a cow.
So let's briefly tick off the benefits of eating more bugs. First, let's talk about it in terms of climate change. Tell us about that.
You know, I was amazed when I read this, but a large amount of greenhouse gas emissions doesn't come from cars and trucks and motorcycles. It comes from cattle. You know, cattle, both through their flatulence, and there's a lot of that if you've ever been studying cattle, and through their manure, are releasing ammonia and methane gases, which go up into the upper atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And they say that if we actually were raising grasshoppers instead of cattle, we could cut greenhouse gas emissions. I've seen different statistics, anywhere from 20 to 60%.
So let's talk about, you know, agriculturally, one of the big pushes by the aid and development communities to help smallholder farmers in poor countries. How might pushing bugs benefit poor farmers?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of farming of bugs, or I should say harvesting of bugs, is done on a very small level. In Thailand, for example, there are guys who go around and basically give you a starter stock and then go around and buy crickets from little villages.
Well, they get people to raise crickets for them to come by and pick up later.
That's right. It's kind of a, we call that micro-farming effort, because it doesn't take a lot of space or activity, but it does require some enclosure and equipment and some food.
So if we could improve our farming of insects, it could benefit smallholder farmers in poor countries.
That's right. And actually, even in our own country, the nice part about it, you could actually have little neighborhood collectives where they're raising insects. It wouldn't take much more than about a garage space. It could be right down the block from you.
Let's talk about the health benefits of eating insects as opposed to eating what we eat now.
Yeah, certain things pop out. Crickets are really rich in calcium. Termites are really rich in iron. And also a lot of protein. You know, meat is basically muscle. So things like, oh, for example, a scorpion's tail is all muscle with a little outer body armor on it. Hmm. There's like the equivalent of crab meat in there.
So you eat scorpions?
Yeah, I do. I like their tails and their claws.
I'm not trying to eat their tails. But
you have to take off the stinger first. Okay. There you go. Remember, I wrote a cookbook, not a foraging guide.
All right. So what are some other benefits?
Well, you know, the conservation of water and feed. Hmm. I mean, 16 pounds of grain going into a cow. You could probably float a small village in Indonesia with that 16 pounds of grain.
16 pounds of grain to make a pound of meat.
Yeah, exactly, to make 1 pound of meat.
What's your favorite bug to eat?
Well, my all-time favorite, these are things called wax worms. They're little white caterpillars, and they actually are from a moth that lays its eggs on the honeycomb in a beehive.
Oh, that's right.
Here's an animal that's been eating wax and honey for its entire young life. So, like, what's not to like about that? And if I bake them, they actually taste like pistachio nuts when they're done. So I have a recipe in my book for white chocolate and wax worm cookies. If I did a blindfold test and gave you one, you definitely would ask for another one.
Oh, the next time you make some,
yeah, right.
Have me over.
I'll send you a plate.
But so how are you going to, what, how are you going to win over the most reluctant? What do you think is the best bet to win over people like my brother, who I think if I mentioned this to him, he just, the whole concept would disgust him. He wouldn't even want me to talk.
Well, maybe the winning over occurs in 40 years, according to the UN, when they say, that FAO report says that buying a steak is going to be like a luxury item.
So by necessity.
Yes, I think that's going to, people are going to have to start finding some alternatives. But I do see this amazing trend over the last 5 or 6 years where people are getting more and more involved in this. And I think really from an environmental perspective and a world hunger perspective than anything else. So that is likely to change over time.
David George Gordon is author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook, and he talked with Tom Paulson of humanosphere.org. You can find links to an extended interview and a few recipes at kplu.org.